Good morning. If you would please take out your Bible, turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, we're going to read there in just one moment. While you're turning there, just let me say it's great to be with you today. And the Lord has certainly blessed us with a wonderful, cool morning. And we can all be grateful for that. What a wonderful Lord's Day He's made for us. Amen? Amen. Very good. Psalm 16, starting in verse 8, the Bible says this. I have set the Lord continually before me, because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will You allow Your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life, and Your presence is fullness of joy. In Your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I love those verses. In Your presence is fullness of joy. In Your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There's a timeless truth in the American marketplace. It's a timeless truth that we are reminded of, that we see, that we understand, that we appreciate with almost every single purchase that we make. A timeless truth that rules the marketplace, and that timeless truth is this: you get what you pay for. Isn't that true? You get what you pay for. It is that truth, it is for that reason that you'll never see the Oakland A's ever win a World Series championship, and you'll see the New York Yankees win it multiple times in your lifetime, because you get what you pay for. For the same reason, when Thomas Schaefer goes out and he's buying new cross-country running shoes, he doesn't buy the $20 pair of shoes that are the cheapest ones on the shelf, because he understands you get what you pay for. He buys the cheapest shoe he's going to get injured on his long runs. And that's exactly why you'll never see Don in line getting coffee at a Dunkin' Donuts, because he understands you get what you pay for. I was expecting an amen there. I don't know what happened to that. That American idiom simply means this: that there are reasons things have a certain price. There's a good reason if something is cheap. There's a good reason why it's cheap. It's of a lower quality. Now, don't get me wrong. I love a good sale, and I love clearance, and I buy used things. I drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee when the moment calls for it. I'm not above that, although it doesn't hold a candle to Starbucks. And I'm not above stopping my car in the middle of the road and picking up something off the side of the street if I think it'll come in handy. I've done that before. But if something's coming cheap, there's usually a pretty good reason why it's cheap. Shoes hit the clearance rack because nobody wants them, and the price of a car gets slashed because it's been in a wreck or it's had a previous owner who ate too much fast food in it. Cans and food get marked down at the grocery store because they found a dent in it or the expiration date is nearing. Stuff comes cheap because it isn't of a high quality. We all know that it's true. You get what you pay for. Now, that truth is not just reserved for the American marketplace. That truth also extends to the happiness marketplace. You get what you pay for. We all wake up every morning and we all want the same thing, don't we? We all want to wake up in the morning and we all want happiness. We all want happiness. We all want joy. Everyone, every single person here and everybody in this world wants to wake up in the morning and feel the urge to smile. We want to be happy. From the most ardent atheist like Richard Dawkins to the most devout believers like Harold Taylor was, we want to be happy. We want joy. From Solomon to Sennacherib, from Amos to Ahaz, from the first man Adam, even to my daughter Ellison Marie Banning, we all want to be happy. We all want joy. And what we may not realize all the time is that God isn't the only one who's in the joy business. God and Satan both go about their day coming to us and trying to sell us smiles, trying to tell us that they can make us happy, that we need to live life their way so that we can be happy. They're both in the joy business. They're both selling us happiness. And so when we open up the Bible, we see that God promises joy as he did in Psalm 16 and verse 11, that in his right hand there are pleasures forever. And then we listen to what Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:8, and we see that the saints have an inexpressible joy that's full of glory. And then we come to the book of Jude, and Jude writes this: "Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy." God is able to give us great joy. That's what the Bible says. But the Bible also tells us that Satan promises happiness too. He sells happiness as well. And so when we read the story of Adam and Eve, we read that Eve was tempted. Eve fell because she saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes. In other words, the devil told her, it'll make you happy if you eat it. And then we hear about Moses, and we know that he forewent the pleasures of being Egyptian royalty. But we also learn in that passage in Hebrews 11 and verse 25 that there were pleasures associated with that sinful choice that he could have made. And then we come to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 9, when Satan tempts Jesus. And he says, "I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you just fall down and you worship me." He says, "I'll give you the joy of being ruler of the earth." Each day, in scenario after scenario, they make their pitch. They make their promises. They both ask us to follow their path, to buy into their plan so that we can have happiness and joy. And I believe that one of the most effective things we can do as people who want to make holy and righteous and God-fearing decisions each and every single day, in every single situation, with each temptation, is to remember this one simple truth: that we get what we pay for. When it comes to the happiness that God is offering and the happiness that Satan is offering, we have to remember every single day, we get what we pay for. We get what we pay for. You ought to know this morning that Satan is selling happiness on the cheap. He says to you and me, "Look, I can make you happy. I can bring you great joy. And it isn't going to cost you much at all. It isn't going to cost you much at all." We know that Satan offered Jesus the pleasure of ruling the entire earth, and all Jesus had to pay down toward that was one simple act of worship directed towards Satan, which many in our world would consider the deal of a lifetime, don't you think? And the truth is, when it comes to the happiness that Satan offers us, he hasn't even asked us to do that much. I don't have to get on my knees and kiss Satan's feet. I don't even have to believe that Satan exists to buy the smiles that he's selling. My payment is simply to go out into this world and do what feels good. Satan says, "You want to be happy? You want to be happy? You want to smile? You want joy in this life? All you got to do is stop thinking. Don't restrain yourself. You just go out and you do what feels good. Then you'll be happy. Then you'll have joy. Satisfy whatever urge pops up in your thalamus, whatever desire you feel, whatever lust you have, just go chase it. Go do what feels good to you." It's no wonder that the Bible describes the devil's patrons as unreasoning animals in Jude 1 in verse 10. And it's no wonder that Paul says the wicked have made their belly their god in Philippians 3 and verses 18 through 19, because that's how Satan tells us we get happiness. He says, "You go out into that world, you stop thinking, you stop reasoning, you stop restraining yourself, you stop holding back, you just go out and you do what feels good." Don't you feel those temptations day by day? Don't you hear Satan whispering in your ear, don't hold back, just do what feels good. That's really what's going to make you happy. That's really what's going to bring you joy. That's the payment. And brothers and sisters, that's cheap joy, isn't it? That doesn't cost me anything. All I have to do is do what feels good. But when I think about how inexpensive that happiness is, I also have to remember that timeless truth, don't I? I have to remember you get what you pay for. If something is inexpensive, if something is cheap, there's probably a pretty good reason why it's cheap. And we know that's true of the devil's happiness, the devil's joy that he sells us. The smiles that he sells do not satisfy. It does not last. The smiles that he sells vanish as quickly as they come. He's selling us joy that doesn't cost anything, but it isn't worth anything either. The Bible teaches us that. The Bible teaches us that when I buy the smiles that Satan sells, when I seek happiness according to his plan, what I'll find is depletion. What I'll find is that the happiness he gives me, the smile on my face that came from doing what he told me to do, quickly vanishes. It does not last. It does not stay. It does not abide. It lasts for just a moment and then it's gone. Actually, that's how Satan makes his living. We know that his plan, we know that his way of living life does lead to a momentary degree of happiness. You know, the addict smiles when he takes a hit, and the drunkard smiles when he takes a swig, and the sensual smile when they take a look at what they shouldn't be looking at, and the adulterer smiles the moment he adulterates, and the person who's a rage monster who just likes to go off on people and not control his temper, when he goes off on somebody and tells them like it is, he smiles. He's satisfied in that moment. For everyone who makes their God their belly, there is a moment of exhilaration. But what you'll find when you buy Satan's happiness is that moment of exhilaration vanishes in an instant. And you're left empty again. The Bible also teaches us that when we buy the smiles that Satan sells, we'll find dissatisfaction. In 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 3, Peter writes about this. He says this, "For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you." Peter says that the wicked of this world, the people who are following the devil's plan, that they run in excesses of dissipation. You know why they do that? You know why they do that? Because they found that even though the devil makes them smile for a little bit, it never really satisfies. It never satisfies. It never fills you up. It never gives you purpose. It just makes you smile for a fraction of a second, and then it's gone and you're empty. And it wasn't ever as good as you thought it was going to be anyway. That's what happens when we seek happiness Satan's way. And what the Bible also tells us, when we seek happiness Satan's way, we find degradation. We find degradation. That's what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 when it describes that downward spiral of sin that the Lord gave them over so that they would pursue things that, which were not natural. And he gave them over to a depraved mind in Romans 1 and verse 28. We find that when we just go out and do what feels good, we become more twisted, more wicked, more evil as we continue to try to make ourselves happy in that way. And it doesn't work. And what we find when we seek happiness Satan's way, when we buy the smiles that he sells, we find death. That's what's promised in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6 in verse 23, a very common, familiar passage to many of us, where the Bible simply says this, "For the wages of sin is death." You notice that he uses the word wages there, doesn't he? He says, death is what you earn when you sin. Death is your reward. That's your paycheck, is death when you choose sin. That's what we find. That's what we find when we seek happiness Satan's way. Satan's joy is cheap. It doesn't cost you anything, but it isn't worth anything at the same time. You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. And don't you think it would help us in our everyday spiritual battles, in our struggles against Satan, in our struggle to do what's right, if we would just remember in that moment of temptation, you get what you pay for. Just remember, this may feel good for one fraction of a second, but at the end of the day, it's not going to help me. It's going to lead me into worse places than I started. It isn't going to be worth it. It isn't worth anything. We need to remember when the devil tempts us. You get what you pay for. The happiness he sells isn't worth anything at all. And you should know, I'll tell you right now, that God's business plan is much different than that. God says, I can give you happiness, but it's going to come at great cost. It isn't cheap. In fact, if you want the joy and the happiness that God sells, it's going to cost you your life. You're going to have to make your life like the life of Paul that he described in Galatians 2:20, where he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Your payment for the joy that God offers is to volunteer for servitude. It is to take your life and to take all your time, all your energies, all your appendages, and to make them instruments of the will of Christ. If I want the joy that God offers, he says, I have to make Christ the God of my desires. I have to make Christ the God of all of my natural urges. I have to make Christ the God of my belly. I have to make Christ the God of all my members and be careful what my little eyes see, what my little mouth says, what my little hands do, and where my little feet go. God has promised to provide us with the most magnificent joy. As Peter says, joy, joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. As we were told in Psalm 16 and verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. That's the joy that he's promised to us. That's the joy he's promised to everybody who's willing to pay that great price. And some people may look at that. They may look at that price, say, God wants everything. He wants my whole life. He wants everything I am in service to him in order for me to get the joy that he offers. That's a high price. But remember that timeless truth. You get what you pay for. The joy of God, the happiness that God offers, is expensive because it's real, because it lasts. It is deep and abiding and meaningful, and it satisfies. There's a parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13, that I think illustrates that point so well. In Matthew chapter 13, he tells this short parable in verse 44. Matthew 13 and verse 44, where the Bible says this: the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. I love that little parable. There's an interesting piece in there that I'd like to draw out for you. Did you notice in that parable, when that man finds that treasure in the field, and he goes back and he buries it and hides it again before he goes and he buys it? Now, why would he do that? Why would he go back and bury his treasure again and then go buy the field? And I think the message of the parable is very simple. It's very clear, because he knows, the man who found the treasure knows, that treasure is worth more than everything he has. He knows that treasure is worth more than everything he has, because if the owner knew what kind of treasure was in his field, he wouldn't have accepted the offer. He wouldn't have accepted even everything that man has. No, but he goes and he buries the treasure, and he comes back and he buys the field, because he knows that the treasure he found is more precious than everything he owns. And that's what Jesus is telling us. He says, give me your life, and I'll give you something infinitely more precious than your life. And that's the product that God has offered to us. That's the joy and the happiness of the salvation that he gives to us. The Bible tells us that when we spend our lives in order to have the happiness that God sells, what we'll find is complete happiness. What we'll find is complete happiness. That when we have that joy, when we've paid that price, we are going to be completely happy. As Revelation chapter 21 says, he's going to wipe away every tear, all those terrible things, all the death and the sadness and the tears and the things in this life that come to us, all of that is gone. You will have complete happiness in every way and in all ways. You will be completely and totally happy. The Bible also tells us that when we buy the smiles that God sells, we will have better happiness. That what we have with him, the joy we have of being with him, will be a greater joy than anything we could have possibly ever had while we're here on this earth. What the Bible tells me also is when we buy the joy that God sells, we'll have endless happiness. That it will not fade away. It will not perish. It will not diminish in any way, ever. You get what you pay for. And God tells you and me, he tells all mankind, look, if you pay the price, if you pay the price, I guarantee you'll smile for all eternity. Now, my one fear in preaching this sermon is that we may come away misunderstanding exactly what God is promising. And so I do want to take a moment and make sure I'm very clear about that. I want you to understand that I'm not promising some kind of health and wealth gospel here. I want you to understand that I'm not promising that the second you choose Jesus, if you choose him right here, right now, today, as soon as we say stand and sing, if you choose him today, you're going to be happy all the time, forevermore, every single day you live life on this earth. That is not what I'm saying. That is not what the Bible teaches, and that is not true. I am not saying that if you choose Jesus right now, here on this earth, you're going to be one of those people who wake up smiling every day, who is cheerful every second of the day. You're one of those people like a morning person that's always happy, that is so happy, everybody just wants to punch him in the face sometimes. Okay, that is not what I'm saying, and that's not what the Bible teaches. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible tells us that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. And that does not mean, as some have tried to say, that Jesus enjoyed the cross. It simply means what it says, which is a point I believe Don made just a week ago. It means that Jesus endured the hardship of the cross in order to get the joy that was on the other side. And that's what his promise is to us. That we live this life in service to God, and we live it through its trials and through its tears. And at the finish line, we take our place at the right hand of God, where there are pleasures forever. Now, serving Jesus does lead to a better life. It does lead to happiness. Saints on the earth have more happiness than those people who follow Satan's plan. He gives us things to help us and cheer us up along the way as we walk this pilgrim pathway. He protects us. He gives us babies, a lot of babies, which bring a lot of joy. He gives us brethren, which the Apostle John would say was his greatest source of joy on this earth. It's to see brothers and sisters walking in truth. But that inexpressible joy, that amazing happiness, that satisfaction that he's promised to us if we give him our life, that we get at the finish line of this life. And that's what we need to be looking toward. That's what's worth your life. We need to remember that we get what we pay for. I wonder how much easier it would be to live a God-fearing and righteous life every single day on this earth if we could just simply have that phrase on repeat in the back of our mind every single day. You get what you pay for. and the joy that is promised for us in heaven. It's worth everything and more that Jesus has asked of us. You get what you pay for. And you know, that saying holds true, not just with us, but it holds true when it came to Jesus. He got what he paid for too. He paid the highest price. He shed his blood for the joy, with the hope of redeeming you and me and all the sinful people in this world who would come to him. The only question that remains this morning is, will you pay what is now required for the joy of being with him? And you get what you pay for. If you want to be with him, pay for it now. Pay for it now by trading in sin and living a righteous life. Pay for it now by giving your life over to him. If you believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and are willing to repent of the sins that caused him to be put on the cross, if you're willing to confess that belief before men, you can do what Joseph Carrington did just last week. You can be baptized in water and have those sins washed away and walk in newness of life. If you want to do that right now, please come. We'll help you while we stand and while we sing.